right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Pressed for time.
Yeah, this week is going to be a truncated episode.
Absolutely.
Well, not really. They're still going to get, you know, an hour's worth of content.
Uh-huh. But just... we got a big interview in the second half of the show today. So we're going to get through the normal retinue before that.
And also, we're introducing a new segment on the show.
Yes.
One of the things we're doing on the show now that we've been kind of toying with, talking about for a while, is we're going to be bringing in on occasion these
little
smaller,
Fifi's Who stuff.
Right. That's one of these.
That's not the one premiering today.
That's not the one premiering tonight, but that's one of the ones in this umbrella of new content segments that we're going to bring you. This is segments done by other people.
Right.
For the show.
Correct.
For your entertainment.
Yes. And Little Fifi's Who Stuff is one that we've been talking about a lot.
Right.
And that one's actually premiering next week.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that. And then this week is actually one that we haven't talked anything about.
Right. We've kind of hinted at, but never really specified until, you know, the ink was dry, so to speak.
Right.
This is Big Kev's Game Stuff.
Right. Big Kev's Game Stuff featuring Coke Logic.
Segment host Coke Logic.
Yes. So you may know Coke Logic as a frequent caller of every radio show that you may listen to. So,
right. But he's a good bloke, and it's a good segment.
It is a good segment, and we like it. And we're going to be bringing him to you periodically.
Yep.
So. You can enjoy those. But without any further ado, I just want to announce a couple of things. One, we're calling the episode tonight Form, Feet, and Legs.
Right.
And we'll get to why in the news. Also, you can check out everything we're doing over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can do many things. You can purchase ads.
You can.
You can purchase ads.
Some new sponsors coming on board, by the way.
I know, you said. You can purchase live commercials on the show or commercials read by us on the show. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking I was going to say you can see everything that we're doing over there and blah, blah. No, not tonight. Not tonight.
You're bucking the system?
That's it. Commercial aspect tonight. That's what we should have called it, the commercial aspect, but it doesn't really work. But you can, in addition to purchasing fine advertisements for your products or services over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, you can check out each and every episode, a photo gallery for those episodes, unless you're listening on an iPad, iPod, iTunes, something, where some of the related images that we talk about pop up as you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. It's a technology that we like to promote.
All fine opportunities for you to participate in.
Right.
For everybody's benefit.
There you go. They got the message boards over there.
Sure.
You do all sorts of things. Yeah, you can be involved.
Good stuff.
Of course, you can always, if there's something you'd like to hear us talk about on the show or something we have talked about and you'd like to make a comment, you can give our GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave a message over there and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Uh-huh.
Not the Holiday Killer.
Right. So was Falcone Jr. the Holiday Killer in
yes.
those? I was forgot.
That was Long Halloween.
Right.
And early in the week, we heard Variety reported that according to a source,
uh-huh.
a ubiquitous clandestine informant, that's who Joseph Gordon-Levitt was playing.
Right.
And then later in the week, we heard from another ubiquitous clandestine informant out of the Nolan camp saying that that's not the case. So
we're back up in the air.
We're back up in the air. We're back up in the, we have no idea who Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be.
Could be lunch meat. Could be peaches.
Exactly. Who knows?
Like a can without a label.
Blech.
Just saying.
Ugh. All right. Moving past that, because I mean, do you have anything else to say? I mean, certainly, I guess if we want to comment on that, certainly going that route would be appropriate with the storyline that they've set up in the first two movies. However, does The Dark Knight Rises need another villain?
Yeah, no. We don't know how anyone's being handled yet.
Right.
I'll contribute something, OG.
Okay.
Craig Thompson is a terrific artist and writer, and he's really only done one major comic.
Okay.
It's called Blankets, and it's considered by many to be one of the best ever written. It's award-winning. It was acclaimed by everyone. Most people who read comics, other than OG, have a copy of Blankets in their collection.
Hey, I read comics. I just haven't read Blankets.
Just saying. And he hasn't done a project, and it's been a few years now. Well, he is now releasing his next project, a massive 672-page original graphic novel called Habibi.
I don't know what that is.
Yes, and it's coming out September 20th. Well, I'm going to tell you,
okay,
sir. Rather than releasing it as strips, he's releasing it all at once. So imagine this is a so-many-issue series, except he's going to be releasing it all at once, just like he did with Blankets.
Okay.
Okay? So that much you understand,
so this
right?
is a true graphic novel as opposed to a trade paperback.
Right. Right. Exactly. And Blankets was really terrific. It was really very... I don't think anyone did that really before him in that size, you know, the sort of phone book size.
Okay.
I don't know. It's very exciting, I think. Habibi is an Arabic word which means my beloved, and it reflects Arabic and Islamic influences that Thompson discovered during a trip to Morocco. So he's going to do kind of, you know, commenting on Islam the way he commented on Christianity in Blankets.
Okay, okay.
That means anything.
A little controversial.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
And it's all black and white. It's going to be really terrific. And it's only $30. So it's really going to be a really terrific book. And I'm going to recommend it now without knowing anything else about it. Coming in September. And it'll be offered by Pantheon Books. So you should expect to hear more about that as we get closer to the release date.
Fine. Sounds good. You know what also sounds good? Wolverine. Lost Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, it's not really a loss, though. I was kind of...
No, it's kind of a...
It's a little iffy about Aronofsky doing that flick.
Yeah, I like Aronofsky. I just wasn't sure how he fit into Wolverine.
Yeah, and this know? Was and this was a, and this was kind of a jerk-offy move a little bit, too, wasn't it?
Well, he didn't want to make the commitment to go overseas for a year plus and
right.
be away from his family, he said. And then, of course, we also found out later this week that, you know, who knows, it would have been affected anyway, because I hear that filming is all but halted right now because a lot was going to be filmed in Japan.
Yes.
And clearly, with the current state of affairs.
Right. Not a lot going on in Japan.
Not a lot going on in the film market in Japan.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that, and without getting into much explanation, you know, a lot of stuff we enjoy in the Japanese culture, you know, all those things are going to slow down a little bit now. I believe it's true for anime, Japanese toys like Kotobukiya.
Sure.
Hot toys.
Yeah, not to mention
Medicom.
All the factories that are over there that may be affected by this. I mean,
exactly.
A lot of those, you know, a lot of those overseas factories are, I mean, a lot of them are in China, but
most
there
of
are,
them are in China.
But there are ones in Japan.
There are. So yeah, I mean, I just think a lot of those things, you know, are going to kind of slow down a little bit.
Clearly.
I don't know. I'm going to go buy Pocky, I think.
Pocky is going to be like the new currency on the streets in Japan.
Know,
is that
man.
What you're saying?
All I'm saying is
the Almond Crush.
Look,
I got the strawberry.
I like me some Pocky.
What's your favorite flavor?
Just crunch.
Just regular.
It's like the
straight
cookie
up.
Crunch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not the plain one.
No, with the chocolate on it.
Yeah, but it's got like chocolate bits
of
cookie attached to it.
I hear you.
For some reason, it's retarded expensive over the regular kind. But I like it. I like that, and I like the dark, the men's.
Yeah, the men's.
The men's Pocky.
I like the Almond Crush as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't really like the strawberry.
No, I don't like that.
I'm not a fake strawberry guy.
No.
That faux strawberry. Like strawberry Yoo-hoo.
You know, and the reason I brought up Pocky as the example is, you know, there's a lot of those little niche things like that we import from Japan that I think are going to be, you know, maybe hard to come by for a little bit now. You know, I buy all my rice imported from Japan.
You buy all of that at
Mitsuwa.
The Mitsuwa, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of, I'm a little concerned about that.
As you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. Dead.
No.
Oh.
That's terrible. Why would you even say such a
horrible. His character is dead.
Well, sadly. Alan Tudyk joining the cast of Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
He's
going to be playing the role of Stephen Douglas, who is an ally to the Southern Vampires in the movie adaptation of the book.
Okay.
It's nice to know that Alan Tudyk is working in the genre.
It's nice. Yeah. I can't believe they're making that movie.
You know, the book was really well received. I haven't read the book. It's on my, it's patiently waiting for me on my Kindle.
Oh.
About four down.
Gotcha.
I got a couple others I got to get through first. But, I've heard some really good things about it. It was well received, so as a book. So, you know, they're moving forward with Pride and Prejudice and Zombies too.
Right.
So, and I think
Natalie Portman in that?
I believe so.
Yeah,
and
I
think the Jane Eyre one is
Is
happening also?
Wow.
So all that whole genre of bizarro books is happening. So into films rather. So there you go. American Reunion.
What's that?
Now, I'm bringing this up because of the omission from the cast.
Okay.
You were a fan of the American Pie films?
Oh,
the original three, I should say.
Yes.
Did you? I mean, even American Wedding.
No, American Wedding is
was
one
okay.
of the three.
It was one of the original three.
Right.
It was the it wasn't great,
it's,
but it was
it's
the capper.
Once you get into the Stifler brothers.
Yeah, American
Stifler's
Pie,
brother movies.
Van Camp, American
yeah,
Pie, The Naked Mile.
Wait,
all
you
of
know
those
them all?
Well, I worked in a DVD store for 10
I don't even
years,
I don't even
so.
Know them after American Wedding.
Anyway.
Yes. American Reunion.
American Reunion is bringing back Jason Biggs, Sean William Scott, Eugene Levy, and a couple of others, apparently.
Okay.
But the omission on that list is what's her name?
Allison Hannigan?
Not on the list.
Why?
Now, I don't know if maybe they just haven't locked her yet.
Right.
I can't imagine that she wouldn't want to do it. I would think that it was a fun experience for her.
It could be a scheduling issue with Two and
How
a Half Men.
You mean How I Met Your Mother?
I meant How I Met Your Mother. Yeah, wait.
Unless she's replacing Charlie Sheen.
It could be a scheduling conflict with How I Met Your Mother.
Right. It could be.
Could
be a family obligation that we don't know about.
She has a kid and a husband who doesn't work.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in America, it's been a while, so I could be wrong. But in American Wedding, doesn't she get married?
Yeah, she and
to
Biggs.
Jason Biggs' character?
Yeah, she's Biggs' wife.
So I'm wondering if this
Michelle
is
Flaherty?
Yeah,
something, that was her character's name.
But I'm wondering if maybe if she's not in it, are they going to just like write her out? Like, no, oh, they're separated, or oh, she's not here.
Yeah.
Or,
well, I mean, know. It depends what the context of the movie
right. Well,
is.
we don't know that.
Exactly.
Yet. We just know that it's being made.
Jason. Now, did they get all the, because Chris Klein did not do American Wedding.
He did not.
But did they say whether Chris Klein?
Well, according to this article that I read,
uh-huh.
They're currently in negotiations with Tara Reid, Chris Klein, Mina Suvari, Thomas Ian Nichols, and Jennifer Coolidge.
Right.
So
they haven't landed those
yet.
Coolidge is Stifler's mom.
Right.
So, and the rest of them are the...
Was Mina Suvari in the other ones?
Yeah, she was Chris Klein's girlfriend, the singing girl.
That's right. So which one was Tara Reid then?
Tara Reid was Kevin's girlfriend, who is okay. Ian, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Thomas Ian Nichols.
Ian Nichols. That was the girl, remember he was trying to have sex with her in the first film? And
right,
then when they
right.
got to, in the second film, you know, they had... You know, learn to, you know, they had broke up right after they had sex.
Right.
And then when they had the reunion bit, they were not really speaking. I don't know. It was really awkward.
It was an awkward
relationship in the second film. And she was not in Wedding. Most of them were not in Wedding. Jason Biggs, Allison Hannigan. I think Thomas Ian, whatever his name is. I think he was.
Because he was in the... Chris Klein was not in it at
no,
all?
No, Chris Klein was not in that movie. Stifler
was
in that movie. Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
And then the other cat, the really uptight cat who was sleeping with Stifler's mom.
Oh, the Shermanator?
Shitbreak. No, not Shermanator. No. The other one of the
like
yes, main
yes,
guys.
I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
the
real dry,
yeah,
straight-laced.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah
it's
yeah.
the one who studied tantric in the second movie.
Yes.
I cannot remember that. I cannot remember the character's name, but he was the one. Stifler called him Shitbreak, and he was sleeping with Stifler's mom, but I cannot remember the character name.
Paul Finch,
that's
right.
It.
That was Eddie K. Thomas.
Right, Eddie K. Thomas.
So there it is.
Well, that'll be interesting.
I don't know. I like Jason Biggs. He hasn't worked in a while. I like Sean William Scott. I like the character.
Jason Biggs
of Stifler.
On TV, sir.
What is he on right now?
He's on some TV show. I don't remember.
Is
what
it a comedy?
Called. One would assume.
Oh, wait. Is he's not in the Olivia Munn show, is he?
No, I don't think so.
He's
not
in that show.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
We're full of nothing today.
No, we're full of useless information.
Maybe we should
Mad
move.
Love
that's
is,
it.
Is the show.
Is that the
I
one
think
she's
that's
on?
The Olivia Munn show. Oh, no, maybe not. Oh, no, it's the... That's the one with Sarah Chalk from,
yes.
From Scrubs.
Scrubs.
And the dude from Reaper.
Yes.
With the bad hair?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Tyler Labine. He was in that other show that lasted like 6 episodes also. Anyway, are we done with that?
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Been done.
All right, Voltron.
Yes. So we named the episode Form, Feet, and Legs because this is the first that we are reporting on a brand new Voltron cartoon coming this fall.
This spring.
This
like. Soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like around the corner.
I thought that picture you showed me said fall, sir.
Spring 2011, the picture says, yeah.
I'm wrong. And yes, we do have pictures, of course. So you're going to be seeing them if you're listening on your iPad, iPhone, iPod, or on iTunes or QuickTime. You can see the images as we're talking about them. Or you can go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, check out the photo gallery for this episode to see them. It is the Lions. That is the good news.
Right.
Where is this cartoon going to be?
It's going to be on Nickelodeon.
Which is kind of the bad news because they tend to play things down a little on Nickelodeon.
Well, you know, the original Voltron, from what I remember, wasn't uh-huh. like, it wasn't overly like violent. I mean, the robots fought and it was a giant robot, but
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like mass bloodshed.
No.
And do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Understand,
but
like,
I would,
Nicktoons.
I don't think that they would ever show that cartoon.
Like
on
I'd rather see it on Cartoon Network. For
exactly.
Example, you know?
Yeah. Which
clearly
is,
I understand.
Or
that.
Something like Disney XD or.
Right.
I'm talking like I know what Disney XD. I have no idea what the content.
Traumatizing.
I know, but I don't know what the content is right. like on there. So, but yeah. On Adult Swim, well, not Adult Swim, but on Cartoon Network, I think it would have been a more appropriate home.
But, well, you know, we'll see because, you know, Transformers Prime, which is online,
right?
But which is, I think, is going to be playing to the same audience that this plays to.
Okay.
It's a younger audience,
right.
clearly. Transformers Prime is is a really good show. I mean, it's got a lot of meat to the story. And
right.
It's a good representation of the characters. Happy to see the Lions come back. And gotta say, I'm really not that upset with the new character designs. They're sleeker. They're not as clunky.
But that's that's kind of what made the original design work.
But you
is
know
that
what?
They look like robots. These just, they look too smooth.
But they're not. I'll tell you what I like.
Okay.
They have those. Do you remember when you folded them up? They had the big joints, the big round joints.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where the articulation point was.
Right.
But it kind of played into the character design. That still exists.
Okay.
They haven't gone as far as Michael Bay's version of Ravage, right? Or which is where I thought they were going to go with this. You know, that kind of too robotic. Like, it still looks like a lion's face to me.
Right.
It still has whiskers. It still has fangs. It still kind of has that jaw that looks like it would just... to me, it's a good... My biggest concern would, I think, be the tail, but I still like it. I'm down with the designs.
The other reason I like the original so much in the design regard was they look like they were all sort of cut from the same cloth, even though the lions had different abilities. They all looked like, you know, that whoever designed this thing and built it was like, okay, we need five lions, so here's what the head's going to look like, and you know what I mean. There was a uniformity to them, which is completely gone from these designs.
I don't know about that. I think the only two that are drastically different are Yellow, who has like a big, huge, boxy jaw, and Black looks different. Black looks like he's the king of the pride.
Yeah.
But if you remember the Black Lion, if you remember the toys, right? I'm thinking about the toy was like,
yeah, I remember
like
that
a huge. Boxy looking, because
he was the torso of the thing.
So,
yeah, I understand.
I don't know. I'm going to have to see it in action, but
okay.
I'm okay with the designs. I really kind of like them. Voltron Force coming to you on Nickelodeon. Hopefully we'll report back once it actually airs, and we'll give it a watch.
The episode you'll be looking for will be entitled Form, Arms, and Body.
Right, exactly. All right, the American Akira remake.
Boo.
Deadline reported this week a couple of...
Dead, huh?
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. The shortlists for Tetsuo and Kaneda.
Okay.
Okay. These are the people, I guess, that's currently being looked into for
those
two
roles. Drum roll, please.
In the role of Tetsuo, one of these you're going to laugh at. Two of these you're going to be sad at, one you're going to laugh at. Robert Pattinson.
As Tetsuo?
As Tetsuo.
Okay. Seems a little old.
Andrew Garfield.
Which one's Andrew Garfield?
The new Spider-Man.
Better?
Oh, Spider-Man. Oh, I totally glossed over Spider-Man news. We'll get back to it.
Okay.
James McAvoy. That's the
As one. Tetsuo?
As Tetsuo.
No, I don't see that. He's now, way too old.
Now, all of those people are 24 to 31 in their actual range.
Yeah.
Like their actual age range. Pattinson is 24.
Right.
McAvoy is 31.
Right.
And Garfield is 27.
Of all of them, I like Garfield the best, but I actually think Garfield might be able to pull off Kaneda.
Well, wait for Kaneda's list.
Okay. Is that all of them on the Tetsuo
That's
list?
All on Tetsuo.
Okay. What do you have
Michael
for Kaneda?
Michael Fassbender.
Really?
Yeah.
No. No. No, way too old.
33, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you think that's
it.
Too old? Wait for it.
Okay.
Garrett Hedlund. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yes, you do.
Who?
Garrett Hedlund is actually not a bad choice. That's Sam Flynn.
Oh, God. Is that Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't make
that's
the
not
connection.
A, that's not a
okay.
terrible choice.
All right, so that one I'm okay with. Then.
Yeah, that one I'm not right. against that one.
The next one, the next three I'm against.
Okay.
Chris Pine. I don't think he fits in that role. I don't see
no,
him as
you know
Kaneda.
What? You know what? I don't think he's a terrible choice
really?
Either. But it really depends on who Tetsuo is, I think.
Well,
and when Star Trek goes into production.
Right. Justin Timberlake. I mean, he can act.
Oh, man.
He's a draw name-wise.
Yeah, and I don't...
He wouldn't be terrible as Kaneda, I guess.
You know what? If it came down to him or Fassbender, I would probably go with him.
Like, let's say it was Timberlake and Garfield. I guess that wouldn't be terrible.
It wouldn't be terrible. It'd be better if it was Hedlund and Garfield.
Hedlund and Garfield? All right, well, wait. There's one more for Kaneda. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, so just no.
So no. So. 36 years old.
Joaquin is just, he fucked himself. He shot himself in the foot. He's done.
With that silliness that
yeah,
he did?
He's just done.
All right. Two more things before we move on to comics and DVDs.
Yep.
And toys. Jesus. All right. Spider-Man. What's his name? Confirmed. Lizard confirmed.
As the villain?
As the villain.
Okay.
In an interview this past week with C. Thomas Howell, who we know is going to be in this in this film.
Now that's a name I've not heard for a long, long time.
This is his quote. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Sony wants to be hush-hush right now. I play a relatively small role. I play a construction worker whose son is caught in the middle of a battle between the Lizard and Spider-Man on the Manhattan Bridge. Spider-Man helps me get my son back from the perilous situation. And then he kind of goes on to a little bit to describe the situation. But that's pretty much the confirmation that everybody was looking for.
That it's the Lizard?
That it's the Lizard.
Way to go, C. Thomas Howell.
So there it is. Now, I don't think that that was supposed to be leaked just yet.
Oops.
But clearly it is out there now.
Okay.
One more thing, and then I swear we can move on. Wonder Woman.
Terrible costume.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I mean, I think she looks pretty hot, but aside from that, I don't quite feel that it's like the rubies of Wonder Woman costumes.
Oh, it absolutely
like
is.
Like some people do.
It's absolutely a terrible Halloween costume made by rubies.
But my biggest gripe is I don't like the all blue bottom.
The
like
pants.
I think that they should have stuck with the red boots.
At least the red boots.
The all blue.
And they should have went a deeper blue. That's like disco blue.
That is
man.
Disco blue.
It's terrible.
It's much less patriotic blue. Let's put it that way.
It's horrendous. The costume is horrendous. Her current costume in the comics would have been a better
choice.
Is
that that new one with the black pants?
Yeah. Would have been a much better. All right. So you turn the pants a dark blue.
A dark blue,
give her the red boots.
And the red, yeah.
But, I mean, this thing is horrendous. This looks worse than Linda Carter's costume in the old TV show. I mean, it
What's
is
wrong
horrendous.
Linda Carter's costume?
And it wasn't a great costume. Look, here's the bottom line with the character. You can't use any of the classic sort of character stuff in any kind of live action sense. You can't do it. It doesn't translate.
No, that would not translate.
It doesn't translate. I mean, I think the character, by and large, has difficulty transitioning or translating into a live medium as it is. But they're just shooting themselves in the ass. This is never going to get anywhere past the pilot with this terrible costume.
I agree.
Ugh, I'd rather watch the cape.
Oh, it's over.
Is it over? Was it announced for sure?
Yeah, that and Ordinary Family, both done.
Both
canned, yep.
Wow. Get that DVD.
Yep.
They should at least, maybe they'll put out an episode on the DVD that wraps up the series.
The Cape?
Yeah.
They aired the episode, but online only at NBC.com or whatever.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it'll be on the DVD?
It'll be on the DVD.
Yeah, so who gives a crap? I haven't watched half of them anyway.
Oh, I've liked them. I've liked them all. I've seen them all but that last episode.
I don't know. It kind of lost me.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
DVDs.
Uh-huh.
The Tourist out on DVD this week.
So nothing.
Yogi Bear out on DVD this week.
Okay, let's talk about the only DVD matters.
There is one, two that you might want. Venture Brothers Season 4 is out this
week. Why didn't you say that?
And Skyline is out this week, if you want to check that out.
That terrible invasion flick?
Stand By Me on Blu-ray.
See, that's at least decent.
Does that qualify for you?
Yeah. Let's talk about the only DVD really worth talking about this week.
Which was not released this week, but came to our attention
this
week.
Yes, it did. Because, you know, you've heard us talk about the Warner Brothers archive in the past.
We have.
And this is... Yeah, and this is where if you Google it, Warner Archive, you can actually go and movies that Warner Brothers owns that they haven't officially released on DVD in like, you know, what you would consider a massive release. They have a number of titles, and it's got to be hundreds of titles.
Oh,
by
sure.
Now, I'd say maybe even thousands. I don't know. Titles that Warner Brothers owns that they haven't done official releases for, that they don't plan to do an official release for, they are now printing on demand.
Right.
Meaning that if you like one of the titles and you want to get it on DVD, chances are this may be the only way for you to get it on DVD. And to give you a really great example, besides the one we're going to talk about today, there is a slew of old movies, old Errol Flynn movies that have not been released on DVD, and they're not going to get a wide release on DVD. Ergo, Warner Archive has made these titles available for their sort of print on demand. They don't do anything with it. Like, they don't, like, really restore it and so on and so forth. It's whatever the last sort of restoration that was done on it or what have you. And they just simply print it to a disc. They put it in a DVD box with a, you know, what do you call that? The paper that slides in to tell you what the movie is. And that's pretty much it. It's as bare bones as you can get, but at least you're able to get it, I think, is the point. And a movie that OG and I really enjoy, a comedy by Kenneth Branagh called A Midwinter's Tale, has made the Warner Archive list of movies, and we actually got a hold of a copy of it. It's really, the transfer is really beautiful.
Good.
They warn you over and over that it's just, this is the way it is. It turned out really great. It's a really terrific movie that has never been released on DVD. Go over to Amazon. You can see copies of the VHS are a couple of $100.
Yeah, that's like craziness.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because it's a very sort of popular underground movie that has just not had a wide enough release on DVD or any release on DVD, but it had a really limited release on VHS, and there was no way to see this flick. It's black and white. I think he did it like right before or right after Hamlet. I can't remember which it was. I think it was right before, but I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's
either.
Just a little film. It's got a terrific cast in it.
With no names, except for one, I would think, right? Only one person really is would be recognized.
Well, it depends. They're all British performers. It was a film shot in England, and it's a lot of character actors.
Joan Collins
is the only big name in it, but she is a minor part. The rest of them have all been in Kenneth Branagh's films. Most of them were in Hamlet. Most of them were in other films with him as well, or in some other films with him. A couple of the girls in the flick are from that show. Absolutely fabulous.
Right.
There's two of them from that, or three of them in there from that, I think. It's just kind of Kenneth Branagh and a couple of his friends made a little movie. It had a release. I don't know that it did well or didn't do well or whatever, but there it is. You can get it now. You can enjoy it on Warner Archive. It's just another great example of the Warner Archive system. So we just wanted to mention that. It's very exciting to get one of these flicks that you really want to have on DVD but hasn't been released yet. Very, very cool thing.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics. Just a couple to talk about really quick. OG's favorite Green Hornet, number 14, from our friends over at Dynamite Entertainment. And the clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. When do you think it's going to end, OG?
I'm hoping next week.
Not before the DVD releases, but I say shortly thereafter.
Shortly thereafter?
Yep. Also, Batman The Dark Knight, number 2. David Finch and Scott Williams working on this one. If there is a way for me to express to you how great the art is in this book, Finch is amazing. Not such a terribly nice fella in person, really.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that up.
The book is absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really digging it. Check it out. It's only issue 2, so you want a Batman book to read, you can hop right on that one there. Trades this week, we want to talk about one, and that is The Complete Peanuts.
Boy, this thing's still going on, huh?
This thing is supposed to have 25 volumes.
Holy crap. And what volume is this?
I don't know, because they only date it. I don't think they number them.
Jesus.
This is 1979 to 1980, so we are really chucking along as far as timeline goes. We've been talking about these from Fantagraphic Books. They preserve the original format. You get 3 strips per page, all in black and white. I don't think there's no color in any of these. These are just the day. I guess these are the daily strips. Gonna run you $28.99, which is terrific for what? A couple of hundred pages of content, OG?
Yeah, something like that.
It's definitely a couple of, well, look, you're getting how many years of strips. It's over 300 pages of original Charles Schulz peanut strips. So, yeah. This one has an introduction by Al Roker.
What?
How the heck does Al Roker get to introduce this?
That's just silliness now.
Man, I'm writing them. I want to write an intro for one of these. Damn it. Anyway, so check that out from Fantagraphic Books, The Complete Peanuts, 1979 to 1980.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product this week. Just two to talk about really quick. And the first is the Star Wars Official Starships and Vehicles Collection number 63, the Imperial Shuttle Theta Class Shuttle, the Emperor's Customized Conveyance. It has actually listed on here. We talked about these. They're terrific miniatures of all the, your favorite Star Wars ships. This one is actually seen in Revenge of the Sith. It's the Emperor's Shuttle. You see it at, towards the end when he goes to rescue Vader.
Okay.
From being a charcoal briquette. That's right. The ship the Emperor takes there. You get a really terrific miniature model in a nice little plastic display case with a background. You also get this terrific little book with tons of information about the ship, about ships, other ships like it. And then there's a whole bunch of other bits of information as well. Talks about the in this one, talks about the Shadow Guard, talks about creating the Theta class ship for the movies, talks about some things about the Force Unleashed. I mean, there's a lot to read in these little tiny magazines, and you get this great ship on top of it. Gonna run you what, about like $15-18, something like
those
that.
Those things are really, really nice.
Yeah, they're really, really
there's
cool.
There's no reason why, as a Star Wars collector, you aren't getting all of those.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Or at least the ones you like.
I'm saying all.
Okay. And finally tonight, the DC Direct Batman black and white statue. Designed by Tony Daniel and sculpted by James Shoup. Now, I've been really looking forward to this particular one. We've been talking about these Batman black and whites forever. And this is a limited edition of 4,000. No, it's just not a limited edition at 4,000.
No, at that point, it's just an edition.
Can I ask you a question? Weren't these when they started like 1,500 or something like that?
They might have been.
I thought they were a really low number. I can't believe they're up to 4,000.
Yeah, because I can't imagine the hard-to-come-by pieces like the Magnolias.
Which is now, I think, the top...
selling piece.
Top-selling piece. Yeah.
I can't imagine ones like that are not, you know... are not that one was 4,000 pieces. That baffles my mind.
So.
I can't imagine that as the case.
Having a look at it here, the sculpting is really nice. My problem is the production.
Uh oh.
Oh yes. Now
have these shit the bed?
No. Production wise, they may have shit the bed. Now I'm holding it up for you, OG. What's the problem with this piece?
I don't know. What's the problem with that piece? Is it? I don't know.
Where's the black?
Oh, I can't really see it that well. The Studio A is not lit well enough for me. Is there no black?
There's
the
no
cape
black.
Is not black.
There's no black.
What color is the cape?
Gray.
So it's all just grayscale.
It's all a dark gray. All the parts that should be black on this piece, like the other pieces before it, when the black, the blacks are really black.
Right.
Wow, that one's going to get pulled. The blacks are really black, and the whites are really white, you know, and then there's varying grays in the middle. Now, granted, a lot of them have experienced a lot of grays as you go, but the blacks have always been really identifiable as black, not in this piece. In this piece is entirely gray. There's not a decent... His gloves, his boots... His gloves and boots are and the symbol on his chest are the darkest parts on here, and I really think it's because they used a high sheen paint on those, and I think that's the only reason that they look any darker than the cape, which is clearly not black. Cape and cowl are a dark gray. And I think this is a shame because this is a really decent.
I was gonna say it's a nice sculpt. Yeah, it's a nice looking piece.
It is. It's a dynamic sculpt. Some of them have been really simple sculpts, but not this one. This one's a really dynamic sculpt, and it fails because the production. I don't know how the heck this got out of production without being black and white. This isn't called Batman Gray.
Right.
Even the box art is darker than this piece. You know, the one they photographed for the outside of the box is darker than this piece is. I don't understand what happened here. I'm really, really fabulously disappointed by this.
I don't know what to tell. I mean, I don't know. It's maybe display this one on its own.
I don't. Well, I mean, so it doesn't. I'm a display so with the other ones, but.
So it doesn't stand out so much.
Well, maybe because
it's a nice piece. It would be a shame to not pick up or display that piece.
Well,
because of that problem,
right?
And let's just hope that it is a one-off production problem it is not a trend in the line going forward.
Well, I hope not, but I may write a stern letter. I think this is the first one that was produced with the current regime. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So
this wasn't like a remainder.
No, runoff. I think perhaps the quality control evidenced by this piece. Maybe what we have to look forward to.
Uh-oh.
And that is scary. This one's going to run you $80. Get out there and get them because there's only 4,000 of them out there.
Right.
It's so stupid, man. It's not limited. God, I hate people sometimes. It's the Batman black and white statue, DC Direct, based on the art of Tony Daniel and sculpted by James Jimmy. We like to call him Jimmy Shoop. And check that out. And with that, OG, let's take a really quick break. We'll come back with our fabulous interview for segment two tonight. And we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 224, Form, Feet, and Legs. Everyone around you was. Attention, Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKev'sGeekStuff.com? Or the show, Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Hey there, this is David Wenham from Lord of the Rings and 300, and you're very fortunate because you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Enjoy.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Big Kev's Game Stuff. I'm your segment host, Coke Logic. The first bit of news we have is the launch of the new portable game system from Nintendo, the 3DS. Not only is the 3DS more powerful than a Nintendo DS, but has a screen that allows you to view 3D games without the use of 3D glasses. The system launches with 12 games, but it's actually kind of a weak lineup. The new Kid Icarus game, thought to be a 3DS launch title, is pushed sometime towards the holiday season, or TBA, which means the holiday season. While there's no new Mario game at launch, 4 screenshots were shown at this past GDC, and the rumor going around that the remake of Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time 3DS, is going to be June 2nd. The system launches on March 29th and has a suggested retail price of $249.99, or as I like to call, $250.
Okay, less talking, more dancing.
As dumb as it looks, Microsoft Kinect actually set a world record. It is the fastest-selling consumer electronics device in the world, according to Guinness World Records, selling faster than the iPhone, iPad, and other media devices. The Kinect has sold 10 million units since its launch in November. Deus Ex: The Human Revolution for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, originally due out in March of 2011, it now has a release date of August 25th. With the original Deus Ex being one of my favorite games of all time, I think I'm excited. Mass Effect 2 is getting a final DLC release titled Arrival, and it's being released on March 29th. The DLC is hoping to bridge the gap between Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3. The DLC will cost 540 Microsoft points, or a conversion rate of $7. Which actually, you don't pay $7. What you do is you have to buy $10 worth of Microsoft points, because they're only sold in packages of 400 points and 800 points. But once you buy 800 Microsoft points, and you buy the DLC at 540 Microsoft points, you'll have 260 Microsoft points that you can't do anything with. Fantastic. And let's end on some sad news. The HD re-release of Echo and the Shadow of the Colossus has been pushed back indefinitely into 2012, which probably means The Last Guardian will also be pushed further into 2012. A lot of people consider these remakes and the release of The Last Guardian as being killer apps that would make them go out and buy a PS3. Congratulations, you don't have to buy a PS3 this year. Sony will let you wait until next year. Signing off, this is Coke Logic for Big Kev's Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 224, Form, Feet, and Legs.
Ooh, you got caught up there. You almost didn't make it.
I almost didn't make it.
I was listening to some old episodes the other day, listening to some of the other people we used to have do segments.
Right.
On the show, like the Mad Mother Canucker.
Oh, yeah.
And Angry Dan's Random Rants. Yeah. Things like that. I think our new ones are much better.
I think so. Well, you know, 5 years later, we've hit a stride.
And that, of course, was the first installment of Big Kev's Game Stuff featuring Coke Logic.
Right. So you guys asked for more video game content, more video game news.
And we give you Coke Logic.
We bring you Coke Logic, who is able to do that.
Oh, I thought we were punishing them.
Oh, no. I thought that was the angle you were going at there. I enjoyed it. I listened to it, you know, prior to sending it to you.
I see.
Anyway.
Let's roll right into this. We were lucky enough to get a couple of the chaps from Sideshow Entertainment or Sideshow Toys or whomever it is, the great people out in California at Sideshow, to talk about some of their latest releases. In their Star Wars license. And, you know, folks, let me just tell you, I like using the word folks because that means, you know, I'm treating them like we're close. Folks, if you like Star Wars, you like Star Wars collectibles, you like the best Star Wars collectibles out there, you have to be looking at what Sideshow's doing. Quarter scale Star Wars pieces. Dynamic sculptures like the Empire, the Fall of the Empire, Ewoks versus Stormtrooper piece that we're going to be talking about.
Good stuff.
And these fantastic 12-inch action figures that blow away anything done by anybody before. I mean, like, altogether anyone before. I think some of them are better than the Japanese stuff, the Hot Toys, the Medicom. I have to say, really terrific stuff, and we are so lucky to get to talk about the creative process about these pieces with these guys from Sideshow. Now, you're going to hear at the end that we talk about a Grand Admiral Thrawn and his control chair as a giveaway contest.
That's right.
That's the secret. That's right. The secret contest. We're opening it up for the podcast people, too.
Right.
So you listen, and then you do whatever it says in there for you to do, and you'll be included in that contest as well.
Right.
So without further ado, here's our interview with the bigwigs over at Sideshow Toys. Okay, it's Big Kev, and we're back. And we're talking to three of the top dogs over at Sideshow Toys. And we're very excited to have them. It's Tom Gilliland? How do we say that?
Gilliland.
Okay. He's the creative director over at Sideshow. We have Seth Rinaldi, who is the design manager, and Jesse Lincoln, who is the mastering coordinator.
That's right.
Jesse, what does a mastering coordinator do?
When we make a prototype, we have to come up with the master that goes to China. So we got to make sure that master is in all the prime condition that we need it to be replicated in mass production.
So do you actually hand take the piece to China?
No, but we do have some people that do fly over with them depending how important it is.
See, that's the job. That's the job.
Yeah, I gotta take Luke Skywalker to China. I'll see you in 4 days.
Yeah, you gotta like Chinese food too.
It's not always the dream date. I think you might. It, but
yeah, and 16-hour flights.
Those are my personal favorite.
I want to, fellas, we have a slew of stuff to talk about, so I want to get rolling right into it if we could. There are three, we're going to actually end up talking about four, but there are three stellar Star Wars sideshow pieces that we want to talk to you guys about today. Let's start with the littlest, tiniest one, and that is the 12-inch Captain Rex. This is part of the militaries of Star Wars, correct?
Absolutely.
And we have the special edition here. And as usual with sideshows, the packaging is excellent. We love the packaging, the magnetic flap, and so forth. There is a slew of accessories, most of which are different hands. Hands for all occasions, I like to say. What we wanted to ask about this piece, I mean, the sculpting is fantastic, and we know that Sideshow is now kind of getting in the groove with these military, and specifically the clone and the armored pieces. There were two questions that we came up with. One, I know you guys are in some way responsible for this, master of everything. This is an animated character. This character has only appeared in animation, correct?
That is correct.
So what's the process for taking an animated character and translating him into a fully realized, realistic version, if you will, of the character?
Well, this is one of the more interesting design processes we have, and certainly, you know, gets an interesting conceptual conversation going. But fundamentally, when we first saw the Clone Wars, the new digital animation, while it was animated, it resonated with a lot of the detail that you see in the actual films, which in the live-action films, coincidentally, most of the clone troopers are animated as well.
Right.
So there's a pretty nice blur of what is real and what isn't, and I think that it made it a bit more convenient for us to, you know, establish the character in what he would look like without sort of all the tracings of the style of the animated show, realize it in what the reality of the films has kind of concretely poured for us.
Now, is that Seth answering?
This is Tom.
Tom, okay. So, Tom, can you, or rather, Seth, can you tell me at what point you come into this conversation that Tom is mentioning, and Tom says, okay, guys, I want to take an animated character and make him real. Does he then dump that on you?
Quite often, yes. A lot of times we'll start with a general premise, such as in Star Wars, we have a line of, you know, military figures, which are all our clone troopers, stormtroopers, et cetera.
Right.
And the idea is almost like you're seeing some of the movie companies do with, you know, some of the Marvel movies, where you're taking a cartoon character or a comic character like, you know, Iron Man and such, and then recasting them in live action. So we're doing that with, you know, extensions of the Star Wars EU, basically.
Right.
So we'll get around a table and we'll start throwing together what looks like sort of a mood board of what should be anticipated to sort of get an interpretation and what should be directly done from canon. Like, obviously, the clone armor is very, you know, it is an established, you know, real truth from, you know, Star Wars. And so what we basically do is we have a, you know, very strong guideline of what something actually is supposed to be, and then sort of it allows us to take sort of creative license and add our own slight spin on how we think things would be recast if they were to be part of that live action world.
Mandalorian jetpack.
Yes.
Where'd that come from? What I mean to say is, was there some point where Rex appeared with this backpack, or was this a creative choice on your part?
Yeah, no, they have shown jump packs on the clone troopers throughout the Clone Wars episodes. I mean, it's interesting because I think your point touches on a broader point, which is one of the reasons why I really appreciate what goes on in the Clone Wars animated TV show, is that they are doing a lot of work behind the scenes to lace together these sort of details. So, you know, like how you identify the Mandalorian style jetpack, you know, they sort of make a statement about how this is rooted in Republican technology. I think, you know, you're starting to see in the show episodes where they've got ARC troopers that are clone troopers that are starting to show elements of design that are, you see on the sand troopers in the films when they've got the MP, you know, 40 pouches hanging on them. Starting to see this incorporated into the design. So you're seeing this interesting military evolution, which is, you know, being that we're also fans of military history and costuming, we love when this kind of texture gets brought to a, you know, basically a fantasy universe.
No, yeah, we're huge fans of that too. Let's move on to another piece. Long-standing series by Sideshow is their quarter-scale pieces. They're about, what, two feet or so?
Usually 18 inches.
18 inches. And we have Jedi Luke here. What we wanted to know was, again, what process do you go through to decide, okay, Jedi Luke from the end of Return of the Jedi is the piece we should do in quarter scale?
Well, I think the issue is that, you know, we're generally looking for, you know, to identify characters that we may have missed or that we really think are, you know, critical elements of a landscape. And then we try and distill out what would be the most iconic, you know, way to interpret them, you know, specifically with, you know, what scene or what representation from the film or, you know, whatever the source material may be. And in this case, to be honest, there was a huge wrestling match over whether or not we did him from earlier in the film or we did it from the, you know, the final confrontation with Vader and the Emperor. And I think that's wherein, you know, some of the design is a little bit of a nod to both ends of the film.
We were definitely looking at the fact that we'd also produced a quarter-scale Emperor enthroned, and we were looking to have a set of figures that would sort of display in concert with each other.
Which actually, if I can interrupt you, brings me to my next question. Have you guys ever considered doing some sort of additional product like a base or some sort of structure, like an environment, that you could place all of these figures in? Because we have now these, you know, we have these three individual characters with, you know, I mean, Luke has pegged feet. I'm not sure about Vader. He's so high up in our studio, I can't even touch him. And the Palpatine will be seated in the chair. Have you guys ever considered doing some sort of environmental piece that would bring these three characters together?
We have, and in fact, we have done it for quarter-scale figures before. We did it for Karloff Frankenstein and a bride.
Right.
And the issue, and this has been debated as recently as last week.
How big is your living room?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what comes down to it. I mean, when the 18-inch scale, unless the characters are extremely intimate in their posed interaction with one another, the phrase we've commonly, you know, fallen back on is the idea of the proximity display. And in order to do that, you know, our feeling has been that, in general, most people, not all, are not going to have the surfboard-sized display space to accommodate, you know, a multiple-figure composition with enough space between them to give it enough air. But it is something that we are considering for future releases. But, you know, with these three characters in particular, to be honest, the issue that rides on us is not so much the fact that there isn't a base for all three to be on, but that the Vader is actually a New Hope Vader, and we have to really do a Jedi one in order to effectively play the scene out.
Oh,
so take that any way you'd like.
I'm still displaying, when I get the Emperor, I'm displaying all three of them together because I think it's going to be fantastic.
We also, to take the proximity display something a little farther, is if you looked at our original two pieces of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, their bases were made much like the A1 product to basically complement each other. You could push them up against each other, and it was a classic face-off scene between the two of them. And, you know, we continue to do that. When we design our figures, we design them in concert with the rest of the pieces in line as it's them making a bigger display. In addition to the, you know, iconographic look that we're looking for in each individual one, we're looking for ways that the figures as a line display well together. Although, like I said, we haven't really gotten to the base part.
So I'll be waiting patiently then for my Jedi Vader. is what I'm feeling here. I'm waiting for him then.
That's the takeaway, I think, yeah.
Okay, and we want to move now into the brand new, just released, we just got it either today or yesterday. It's the Empire, Fall of the Empire, Ewoks versus Stormtroopers diorama. Whose idea was this?
All right, well, I am at the bottom of this one, and the thing that always stuck
which,
with me
which
was...
Which one are you, I?
All right, this is Tom again.
Tom.
The issue that I always had was I could never reconcile how what was shown in the film could possibly...
exactly.
You know, a company of Stormtroopers. So my notion was, can we be creative enough, and can we show something, and can we take the Ewok notion and tweak it a bit on its head and show what, if they were really primitive, savage creatures, you know, what would it take to really take a Stormtrooper down? And so we, you know, was definitely having some fun with it, and it sort of started out as a dare, and then the dare became a challenge. And at that point, then, I was pretty much committed to the idea. So, you know, I wanted to show that something is, that has kind of universally been looked at with a raised eyebrow, how it might be plausible.
I think it started with a sketch in which the Ewoks were depicted like much like a Frazetta painting, like conquerors over, and it just turned into a concept that we all kind of loved. And
oh, you know,
like we were just fans of the fact that, wow, the Ewoks, which were always cute and cuddly and made even more so by the Christmas specials and everything else like that, could finally depict it as something that actually meant something on the Endor planet. So
I'll tell you this. We have never, ever been fans of Ewoks on this. None of my staff has ever been fans of Ewoks ever until this piece.
When you got this piece came out,
we totally reconsidered Ewoks as a thing.
A force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
The only thing that I regret on that piece is that they made us pull it back from where we had it, which was
the blood. Speaker. They pulled the blood out.
Yeah. Well, we had the Logray on the top, or what? That's his name, right?
I think he was
chieftain guy.
Logray. Correct.
His jawbone knife was originally under the lip of the Stormtrooper helmet, like he was cutting his throat, and the spear in the hands of the one that's jumping out of his chest was actually impaled in his chest. But they wouldn't go for that, so we had to kind of cut her off and move on.
Why would the spear through the chest be an issue? I mean, there's the Yoda with the saber through the trooper's chest. Is it because the spear would cause blood and the saber wouldn't?
That is I think the unspoken truth behind the deal, yes.
And we need to know. We were trying to figure out this isn't really a particular scale. It's kind of in between scales. It's not as big as quarter, but not as small as 12-inch. We were wondering why that decision was made to kind of between scale it.
Yeah, this is Tom again. So we've done quite a number of dioramas, and the thing that we have all felt about them is that while they've told some great stories, to us, I think ultimately they are feeling a little bit too diminutive in their statement. And I think what we wanted to try with this piece, especially since we were going to be dealing with Ewoks as some of the principal components, that at the typical ninth or eighth scale that we had been doing things in, they would be so tiny as to lose all impact whatsoever. And we were at a stage in the game where we were anticipating moving our Star Wars statuary up in scale, and that this was a first foray into exploring a slightly larger size. And it's something that we continue to kind of play with. And there's a line of statues that, you know, has been sort of publicly talked about that we'll be releasing later in 2011, early 12, that are of a much more robust size, closer to fifth scale.
But not quite up to quarter scale.
No, they'll be a little bit smaller because we've got bigger base elements and such. And we didn't want to, when we get into the quarter scale, we often have to be a little bit more economical for the base and things like that, so that the price
right.
point remains accessible. So
we often let the quarter scale be the providence of where we get to really play around with mixed media and fabrics, et cetera, and metals and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and the piece that OG mentioned earlier, the Yoda impaling the Stormtrooper, that one is quarter scale, correct?
Yeah,
Yeah, yep. that one's fantastic. Back to the Ewok piece. I imagine, based on what you've already said, that this was a difficult sell to Lucasfilm.
Actually, I mean, they didn't. This is one thing that I enjoy about our interaction with them, is that we've built up such a, you know, a pedigree or a credibility with them, that they have given us a fair amount of, you know, creative license, you know, so as long as we're not crossing, I guess, protocol, you know, rules with regards to blood and things like that, we're in kind of the same arena that, you know, Dark Horse or other graphic novel creators have been, wherein they are elaborating on themes and in some cases doing things that, you know, happened, but it wasn't, you know, verbatim seen on screen. And I think this is what, this is kind of the underpinning thought behind this sort of what we've termed, or the working title of, a sort of visions statue line that I just mentioned a moment ago on the fifth scale, is that we'll be looking at characters through, you know, a little bit of that storytelling lens and bringing a little bit back to the narrative that, again, we know things that happened, but maybe we never saw. And so I think that that's how they were able to comfortably digest this concept along with a lot of these other things that we have proposed.
You always hear the horror stories about how it's always no before it's yes. So I figured with this sort of piece that you might have run into that same problem. Let's talk about a piece that came out a little bit ago, just really quickly. We want to make mention. It was actually one of my favorite expanded universe characters, and that was Thrawn. The weirdo emperor, not emperor, the empire, was he Grand Admiral Thrawn? Is that what he was? With the white uniform, the blue skin, and the little worm buddy that he had. This was, I think, was it the first EU character that you guys had done? And you did him in 12-inch.
I think might have been in 6-scale, but I think we've done EU in other scales.
The first, well, we had sort of dabbled in it before him, but he was like one of the second real jumps into that. We had done a sort of a Clone Wars Anakin, but the first real EU character we did was Asajj Ventress.
Oh, right. And go on.
So Thrawn was a character that, you know, in some of the comics and the graphic novels and some of the other stuff in sort of the EU lore, he was a favorite of a lot of ours in the design area. So, you know, every once in a while there's the wish lists that get pinned to the boards and, you know, sort of shuffled through and brought back up. And he was one of those guys who always kept making it to the top because he just had, you know, a really cool look and everything. And,
right. And
we kept bringing up more stuff and more stuff that kind of went with him, like his cool lizard and, you know, sort of his control chair, you know.
And that's actually what I wanted to mention or ask about, was the control chair ended up becoming the special edition, correct? Or the exclusive edition.
Yep, correct.
And thanks to you guys at Sideshow, we're actually going to be giving one of those to one of our fans. And as we wrap up our interview with the fellas here, we want to let you know you can give us a call at our GVM line, 425-920-6050. We're going to pick a random caller who has an interesting comment about this interview, and they are going to win that exclusive edition Grand Admiral Thrawn and Control Chair. And we're very excited, very pleased to be working with Sideshow on that. I want to thank Tom Gilliand, if I'm saying that right, Seth Rinaldi, and Jesse Lincoln from Sideshow Toys. Just to reiterate, Tom is the creative director, Seth the design manager, and Jesse does something with master in the title. So we don't want to speculate. And we want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your busy day creating these wonderful products to talk to us about the process, about some of the products. And we're really looking forward to what Sideshow does next.
Thank you, guys, and we appreciate your support.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you.
So there it is.
There it is.
Great guys.
Great guys.
And a lot of insight into the creative process, how these things get chosen, and so on and so forth. And lots of great discussions about that fantastic Ewoks Stormtrooper piece and the other ones as well. absolutely fantastic. So you heard, I'm sure, about the Grand Admiral Thrawn and Control Chair giveaway. So you do what it said for you to do.
Right.
And you will be entered into that contest. Nice. And with that, OG, let's take our final break. We'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 224, Form, Feet, and Legs.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Ooh, the lolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 224, Form, Feet, and Legs.
OG, what did we talk about on this lengthy episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Tonight, we talked a little bit about American Reunion and the possible omission of cast members. Wolverine loses Darren Aronofsky. Alan Tudyk joins the Vampire Hunter. Adrian Palicki's Wonder Woman costume. The Lizard confirmed for Spider-Man. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, not the Holiday Killer. What am I leaving out?
You're leaving out
Voltron. We talked about Voltron Force, Akira casting news, and I think that's it.
You're wrong. I talked about Craig Thompson, the artist and author of Blankets, putting out another massive volume in the fall called Habibi, and from Pantheon. We're very much looking forward to that.
In DVDs tonight. Nothing. No, that's not true. Pick up Stand By Me on Blu-ray.
Right, that was a good
one. In the sci-fi genre, I hear Skyline was decent. That's out this week. But of course, what we really wanted to talk about was the Warner Brothers Home Collection, the Archive Collection.
Right.
And A Midwinter's Tale, to be specific. If you haven't seen that movie, you have to.
Yeah, it's really
good.
It's a must. In comics tonight, we talked about just a couple. The Dark Knight number 2. From DC and from Dynamite, it's Green Hornet number 14. And the trade tonight was the Complete Peanuts 1979 to 1980 from Fantagraphics. In product tonight, we talked about the latest Star Wars official Starships and Vehicles collection magazine and miniature. It was the Imperial Shuttle Theta class.
This is from that D'Agostini.
D'Agostini, yeah. Terrific stuff, man. Terrific stuff. And from DC Direct, the disappointing Batman black and white statue based on the art of Tony Daniel.
Grayscale?
Yeah, the Batman gray statue. Yeah, we felt that for the first time somewhere along the lines, quality control got lost. This statue is many shades of gray and no blacks and no whites. I've never seen any of them this bad. So I'm very, very disappointed in this. And I hope that this is not a reflection of things to come from DC Direct now that they have had a big regime change over there. I'm going to be keeping very close eye. I may have to send an angry letter. I'm just saying.
And of course, segment two of tonight's show.
Right.
We bring you the first segment of Big Kev's Game Stuff with Coke Logic. And that fantastic interview with those three swell blokes from over at Sideshow. Again, man, we got a lot of good information out of them on the creative process.
Yeah.
A lot of good insight as to how they pick the pieces they pick.
Right.
And how they make some of the decisions they make. Some hints as to what we can expect going forward.
That's true.
In Star Wars quarter scale, you know, at least one piece in particular.
Right.
And
check them out over at Sideshow Toy, SideshowToys.com, I think. Or Google it. You'll find it that way.
I think that was it.
That is it.
So don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can check out all of our episodes, the message boards, the image galleries.
Your mother's house.
Yeah. Don't forget, of course, if you'd like to advertise on the show, we are accepting invitations.
That would be advertisements on the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.
On the website and on the podcast.
And on the podcast, right. Not on any other thing we may be involved with.
That's correct.
That's another area entirely.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, and twitter.com/BKGeekStuff. I'm over there as well, at GeekStuffOG on Twitter. And if you'd like to comment on something we talked about tonight.
Uh-huh. Or you'd like to hear us.
Give us praise, right. Or tell us something you want to hear us talk about.
There you go.
Tell us something we missed. Bash us like some of you like to do. I don't know why you listen if you criticize every week. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. You can give us a call over at the GVM, 425-920-6050.
Yeah.
And of course, you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
And with that, OG, I will end this podcast, as I end all podcasts here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on, over rock and under tree. By caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.